NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. The new president of France, François Hollande, says he plans to make good on a campaign promise to withdraw French combat troops from Afghanistan by the end of this year. He informed President Obama of his intentions during their first meeting today at the White House. It didn't come as a surprise, but the French withdrawal will come 2 years earlier than U.S. officials were counting on. NATO's chief military spokesman in Afghanistan, Carsten Jacobsen, says the alliance is preparing.
This is a major challenge for the coming years to the end of 2014, to take the right amount of forces out at the right time and to take the right capabilities out at the right time.
Afghanistan will be at the top of the agenda at the NATO summit that starts Sunday in Chicago. Meanwhile, G8 leaders are gathered for a summit at Camp David, and at the outset today, President Obama announced a $3 billion push to fight hunger in some of the world's poorest countries. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the plan involves private companies and nonprofit groups.
President Obama says the privately funded effort to help small farmers produce more food in countries such as Tanzania and Ethiopia could help lift millions out of poverty. He sees that as a moral and economic responsibility, but also a means to promote national security.
We've seen how spikes in food prices can plunge millions into poverty, which in turn can spark riots that cost lives and can lead to instability.
At a G8 summit 3 years ago, world leaders promised some $22 billion to promote food security. A report card at this year's summit will show how much of that aid has actually been delivered. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
In one of the biggest initial public offerings in U.S. history, Facebook shares ended the trading day at $38.23. As NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports, that's barely above the original share price.
The hype and interest surrounding Facebook's IPO was huge, and shares in the company opened at more than $42, an 11% premium over the IPO price. The stock briefly rose as high as $45, but then struggled to stay above the IPO figure. Facebook's underwriter stepped in to support the price and keep it from falling further. Still, Brian Solis, a principal analyst at the Altimeter Group, says,
I think that Facebook got what it wanted out of the IPO, which priced itself high at $38. But we also learned that investors aren't sure if they can quote-unquote like Facebook yet.
Indeed, some analysts and investors believe that its current valuation, more than $100 billion, is just too high, given its relatively small revenues and sizable expenditures. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
Wall Street ended the day down. The Dow was off 73 points to close at 12,369. The Nasdaq fell 34 points to close at 2,778. This is NPR. The 1965 Voting Rights Act remains intact. A federal appeals court today rejected a challenge by Alabama's Shelby County that argued a provision of the law is unconstitutional because it gives the federal government the power to approve state changes in election procedures. The court says Congress has demonstrated a need for the provision. A prominent retired psychiatrist is apologizing to gay people for a study he conducted 10 years ago that concluded some gay people can become heterosexual through reparative therapy. Dr. Robert Spitzer says his work was fatally flawed and he no longer supports the conclusions. Baritone Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau, hailed as a born god among singers, died today in Germany. He was 86. Over his 50-year career, he made hundreds of recordings of songs by some of the classical world's best-known composers. NPR's Anastasia Tsoulkas has this remembrance.
Fischer-Dieskau was a superbly lyrical singer and was known among classical artists as a musician's musician. Among his many admirers were legendary pianists Vladimir Horowitz and Daniel Barenboim, who served as his accompanists. Composer Benjamin Britten wrote music for him as well. Fischer-Dieskau, who had been held as a German prisoner of war for nearly 2 years during World War II, sang the premiere of Britten's War Requiem in 1962 at England's Coventry Cathedral. Anastasia Tsoulkas, NPR News, New York.
And I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.